morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Friday, February 27th. I'm Charles Palkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. An investigative Wyoming House committee heard hours of tense witness testimony yesterday afternoon. The committee is investigating campaign checks that were distributed to lawmakers on the floor of the lower chamber. Representatives and persons of interest testified. Many of them were said to have received or witnessed Rebecca Bextell hand deliver those checks on the House floor on February 9th, the first full day of business of the budget session. The legislature's nonpartisan staff shared pictures and videos of the floor on the day Bextell handed out those checks. They also shared text messages between lawmakers and the Teton County conservative activist. Lawmakers who received those checks say they didn't break any laws. Bextell also testified, blaming Wyoming Democrats and counterfeit Republicans for the investigation into the incident. The night ended with the committee holding an executive session. The committee might prepare a report on the incident to the full House sometime this session. Bills that would alter the state's property tax system are progressing through the Capitol in Cheyenne. That includes one that would require an election when a local government wants to create a new recreational mill levy. Mill levies are a tax rate that local governments use to raise money for public services. House Speaker Chip Nyman said the bill was necessary after a local school district in his area voted to create a mill for new uniforms and sports equipment.
The issue that I'm trying to address here is the fact that these mills are not allowed to be voted on by the people that are going to be paying the bill, the constituents.
But former State Senator Jeff Wasserberger argued the bill would steamroll over local governments.
I worry about where we're headed in allowing our local school districts to have local control.
The bill crossed over from the House to the Senate this week. A series of bills related to guns have passed the Wyoming House. Two are focused on concealed carry. One would lower the minimum age for concealed carry permits from 21 to 18. The other would allow those with permits from other states to carry firearms at Wyoming's public colleges and universities. Currently, that's only allowed for individuals who have Wyoming-issued permits. Another bill would make it a misdemeanor to enforce any red flag gun seizure when an individual is barred from buying or owning a firearm. Those bills passed the House and are working their way through the Senate. The Wyoming Supreme Court has upheld a lengthy sentence imposed on a juvenile. Evan Kastener of Casper pleaded guilty to second-degree murder for fatally shooting his ex-girlfriend, Leanna Brown, in 2024. Kastener was 15 at the time. Natrona County District Court sentenced him to 42 to 75 years. Kastener said that was unconstitutional, cruel, and unusual because he wouldn't be eligible for parole for at least 42 years. In his appeal to the Supreme Court, he argued that under state law, he should be eligible for parole after 22 and a half years. But the state's high court found the sentence to be legal under state law. The incident was one in a wave of recent lethal teen-on-teen violence in Casper. The U.S. Forest Service is hiring about 2,000 seasonal workers for the summer. As Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports, this comes about a year after the federal government laid off thousands.
The DOGE cuts meant that last summer there were fewer workers clearing trails, cleaning up campgrounds, and collecting data for the Forest Service. So this summer, forest advocates were once again
coming to terms with the fact that some of this work might not get done.
Peggy DePasquale is with the Wyoming Wilderness Association, and she's relieved that the Forest Service is unexpectedly hiring seasonal workers.
We still have a lot of work to do to rebuild after what we lost in 2025, but this is a really important first step to getting back to a functional agency.
The jobs range from trail crew to wilderness ranger to visitor services in forests all across the country, including Wyoming. The hiring window closes March 3rd. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
Back in the 1800s, miners across the Mountain West used mercury to help extract gold and silver, and toxic mercury washed into nearby rivers. New research shows it's still moving through the food chain today. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
Scientists at the University of Nevada, Reno study ducks along the Carson River, downstream from the state's historic silver mining district. Researchers collected and tested duck feathers and found mercury levels in some ducklings far above federal safety guidelines. Co-author Perry Williams says what worries him is how it moves through the ecosystem.
Mercury is not just in the water, so it's continuously being taken up by the invertebrates and the fish and the things that eat the fish, everything in the food web, and we're part of that food web as well.
He says wet years and heavy runoff can stir up legacy mining pollution. That's a concern not just for northern Nevada, but for mining-impacted watersheds across the Mountain West, especially as climate change brings bigger swings between drought and flood. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Gillette wrestlers had a strong showing at last weekend's meet. The Gillette News Record reports the Bolts boys won their regional tournament for the third straight year. They also had four individual regional champs. The Camels' Lucas Balfons recorded his 100th win, with another boy winning his division. Both teams' girls' teams had two individual winners. A Douglas swimmer broke a school record that he'd set just weeks before. The Douglas Budget reports freshman Nick Harvey swam the 100-meter freestyle in 50 2/10 seconds. He also became the only Bearcat Conference champion with his 1 minute 52.4 second 200-meter freestyle swim, coming in just 1/100th of a second over beating that school record. Two Jackson culinary professionals have made the James Beard Award semifinalist list. Buckrell reports Glorietta Trattoria executive chef Remley Kohlstock is up for best chef in the mountain region. Oscar Ortega, owner of Atelier Ortega, is in the outstanding pastry chef or baker category. Finalists will be announced in April. And according to Mondly, Spanish was Wyoming's top language to learn last year. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. In what year did the Wyoming legislature hold its very first session? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, who is Big Nose George? Big Nose George Perrault was a French-born American outlaw, train robber, and murderer. He was notorious for his 1881 lynching in Rawlins. It was notorious for the fact that parts of his remains were used to make various trophies for law-abiding citizens, including a pair of shoes and a tobacco pouch. And I'll leave that last one to your imagination. Congratulations to Philip Pelletier, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great weekend. Don't forget tomorrow night's planetary syzygy that I mentioned yesterday, and join me again on Monday. Thank you.